Blog Talk Radio.
James does not play. He will make you feel some kind of way about yourself because he will not sugarcoat. He will just tell it straight like it is. You can like it or you don't have to. He don't care. He's just going to tell you straight. Talk about that tongue. Talk about us talking about each other. I mean, he hits all of it. Hits you from the front to the back, from the side, and just say, okay, now, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little something about you and how we need to work on you. And I'm like, yeah. Ouch. James is one of them books to make you say, ouch. Wow. He don't have to go all there, but he do. But he makes you feel better because when you look at James, you can see yourself. You can see where you need to improve. You know, that tongue, he talks about it. He talks about judging folks. He hits every corner of our lives, James does. And we need to say thank you to God for that because God gives us what we need. We're the ones that step out of line and don't use it correctly. I mean, we all have our faults. We all have those things that we need to work on. I know I got a whole bunch of stuff that I got to work on. But I thank God every day that I'm getting better. At least I hope I'm getting better. So, Mother, good morning. How are you this lovely morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. God woke me up.
Hey, come on now. Can the church say amen and do a little shout? Because somebody didn't wake up today. Somebody didn't get another opportunity to make things better today than they were on yesterday, to do better today than they did yesterday. Somebody, Mother, you're right, did not get that opportunity, but we did. And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. Tell God thank you this morning, tell me, because he didn't have to wake you up. He didn't have to give you another day. He didn't have to give you a pep in your step and a praise in your heart. So I'm grateful for the pep, and I'm grateful for the praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm grateful to God that he's helping me get my mind and my spirit back in order. And that's the thing. We got to get back in order. And I've been out of order for some time in my life, but I'm asking God to help me get back in order, to get back to that place where I was organized and not distracted, and doing what I needed to do. Do it right. And to be right and holy and holy and righteous. Hallelujah. Not perfect. As my mother's pastor say, I'm in transition. You know, I'm asking for a transformation. You know,
amen.
Take my heart, take my mind, take my soul, make me whole. We need that in our life. You know, we go through those times in our life of darkness. I've been there, you know, where something will trigger a dark moment in your life where you had no control, where you couldn't move, where you couldn't think. And I've been there in that spot, in that place. When you lose people in your life, it takes you there. And we have to pray. So, Mother, will your prayers end this morning?
Father God, we want to thank and praise you for another day. You did it again. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful morning. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And God, let your words go forth to the hearers that's supposed to hear your word this morning, because it's a great word, and we thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, bless Pastor Bridget. Clear her mind. Let her know, as you always do, that you'll do it again, that you're always with her. Because Saturday and Friday, I don't think she felt well. But God increased her strength. And you're the only one that can do that. And we thank you for increasing her strength in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Mother, you have the word this morning. As we get ready to go into our word, we got a lot of good word today. As I said, we are going to be starting a new book today. We're going into the book of James. And we know that James was the brother of Jesus, this James. Jesus had a disciple named James, but it was not his brother, because his brother didn't come to the realization of the truth until after the death and resurrection of Christ. And so on this 20th day of November, wow, time is flying by. As I look at our Bible, Mother, we don't have very much to go, do we? God willing,
amen,
we get to the end. God willing, we will make it to December 31st.
Amen.
We are in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 31 to chapter 32.
Amen.
This morning, so get your Bibles out, because this is really Bible study. Mother and I just make it fun.
Amen.
So we are in Ezekiel 31 and 32, Psalms 131, verses 1 through 4, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 28, and James chapter 1, and I'm excited. I'm all giddied up, Mother. I just got that big old huge smile on my face because, oh, like I said, y'all know I have this thing about Joshua, but James is my next favorite. James is my favorite New Testament word. Joshua is my favorite Old Testament word. So just letting y'all know, I got a thing about James. So I get all giddy. So, hey, you must be in the family of Mary for some reason, because I get giddy for Jesus, too. That's my absolute faith. But, ugh, get ready. It's all I'm saying, family. Get ready for a great word this morning. Mother Valerie, I turn it over
Amen.
To you.
Good morning, family. Good morning, people of God, creations of God. I'm in Ezekiel 31 and 1. Now it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom are you like in your greatness? Indeed, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon, with fine branches that shaded the forest, and of high stature, and its tops were among the thick grass. The water made it grow. Underground water gave it height. with their rivers running around the place where it was planted, and sent out rivulets to all the trees of the field. Therefore, its heights were exalted above all the trees of the field. Its rods were multiplied, and its branches became long because of the abundance of water, and sent them out. All the birds of the heaven made their nests in its rock. Under its branches, all the beasts of the field brought forth their young. And in its shadow, all great nations made their home. Thus, it was beautiful in greatness and in the length of its branches, because its roots reached to abundant waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide it. Fig trees were not like its bark, and the chestnut trees was not like its branches. No tree in the garden of God was like it in beauty. I made it beautiful with a multitude of branches, so that all the trees of Eden envied it. They were in the garden of God. Therefore, thus says Lord God, because you have increased in height, and it set its top among the thick boughs, and its heart was lifted up in its height, therefore, I will deliver it into the hand of the mighty one of the nations, and he shall surely deal with it. I have driven it out for its wickedness, and aliens, the most terrible of the nations, have cut it down and left it. The branches have fallen on the mountains and all the valleys. Its branches lie broken by the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth have gone from under its shadow and left it. On its ruins will remain all the birds of the heavens. All the beasts of the field will come to its branches, so that no tree by the waters may ever again exalt themselves for their height, nor set their tops among the thick boughs, that no tree which drinks water may even be high enough to reach up to it, to them. Let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's the title. For they have all been delivered to death, to the depths of the earth, among the children of men who go down to the pit. Thus says Lord God, in the day when it went down to hell, I caused mourning. I covered the deep because of it. I restrained its rivers. Great waters was held back. I caused leaven to mourn for it. All the trees of the field withered because of it. I made the nation shake at the sound of its fall when I cast it down to hell, together with those who descend into the pit. All the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water were comfort in the depths of the earth. There also went down to hell with it, with those slain by the sword, and those who were its strong arm dwelt in its shadows among the nations, to which all the trees in Eden. Will you then be likened in glory and greatness? Yet you shall be brought down with the trees of Eden to the depths of the earth. You shall lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with those slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh, all his multitude, says the Lord God. Chapter 32. Came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, on the first day of the month, word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, you're like a young lion among the nations, and you're like a monster in the seas, busting forth in your rivers, troubling the water with your feet, and following their rivers. Thus says Lord God, I will therefore spread my net over you with a company of many people. They will draw you up in my net. Then I will leave you on the land. I'll cast you out in the open field and cause to settle on you all the birds of the heavens. And with you I will fill the beasts of the whole earth. I will lay your flesh on the mountains and fill the valley with your carcass. I will also water the land with the flow of your blood, even to the mountains, and the riverbeds will be full of you. When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and make its stars dark. I'll cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you and bring darkness upon your land, says the Lord God. I will also trouble the hearts of many people when I bring your destruction among the nations and to the countries which you have not known. Yes, I will make many people astonished at you, and their kings shall be horribly afraid of you when I banish my sword be called before them. They shall tremble every moment, every man for his own life in the day of your fall. But thus says the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon you. By the swords of the mighty warriors, all of them, the most terrible of the nation, I will cause your multitude to fall. They shall plunder the crop of Egypt, and all its multitude shall be destroyed. And I will destroy all its animals from beside its great waters, for the man shall muddy them no more. The title, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Nor shall hooves of animals muddy them. Then I will make their waters clear and make their rivers run like oil, says the Lord God. When I make it the land of Egypt desolate and the country is destitute of all that once filled it, when I strike all who dwell in it, then they shall know, then they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the lamentation with which they shall lament her. Daughters of the nation shall lament her. They shall lament for her, for Egypt, and for all her multitude, says the Lord God. Came to pass also in the 12th month, on the 15th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, wail over the multitude of Egypt, cast them down to the depths of the earth, her and the daughters of the famous nation, with those who go down to the pit. Whom do you suppress in beauty? Go down, be placed with the uncircumcised. Then they shall fall in the midst of those slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Join her and all her multitudes, the strong among the mighty, to speak to him out of the midst of hell. Speak to him out of the midst of hell with those who help him. They have gone down. They lie with the uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Assyria is there in all her company, with their graves all around her, all of them slain, fallen by the sword. Her graves are set in the recesses of the pit, and her company is all around her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who cause terror in the land of the living. There is Elam and all her multitude, all around her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who have gone down uncircumcised to the lower parts of the earth, who caused their terror in the land of the living. Now they bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. They have set her bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude, with her graves all around her, all of them uncircumcised and slain by the sword. Though their terror was called in the land of the living, yet they bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. It was put in the midst of the slain. There are Misha, Tubal, and all their multitudes with all their graves around it, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword. So they cause their terror in the land of the living. They do not lie with the mighty who are fallen of the uncircumcised, who have gone down to hell with their weapons of war. They have laid their swords under their heads, but their iniquities will be on their bones because of the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. Let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Yes, you shall be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised and lie with those who slain by the sword. There is Edom, her kings and all her princes, who despise their might. Laid beside the slain by the sword, they shall lie with the uncircumcised and with those who go down to the pit. There are the prince of the north, all of them, and all of the Sidonians who have gone down with the slain in shame at the terror which they caused by their might. They lay uncircumcised with those slain by the sword, bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. I know one thing. I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want to go down to the pit. I want God, when I leave, to say, well done. good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. He's talking about going to hell and going down to the pit. No, mm-hmm. Lord. Pharaoh will see them and be comforted over all his multitude. Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword said, Lord God, for I have caused my terror in the land of the living. Boy, you don't want to be around when God calls his terror in the land of the living. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. My Lord, who can stand? No one can stand. He shall be placed in the midst of the uncircumcised with those slain by the sword. Pharaoh and all his multitude, says the Lord God. And the title is Let Everyone, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Woo! Mm. God's word is God's word, and his word is truth. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor.
Oh, Mother, you are right. It is a no play. Ezekiel didn't play. And Ezekiel talked about stuff that actually is, if you stop and think about it, it's almost like a revelation from the book of Revelation. It has a whole lot of stuff. And it talks about the Son of Man will rule over the multitude. You know, we know the Son of Man is Jesus. They were talking about Jesus even in the Old Testament. And you have folks like, why can you not believe in Jesus when you say you're Old Testament? I'm about the Old Testament. Then excuse me, then you need to go back and read. It talks about Jesus all through the Old Testament too. And we know that Jesus is everything. He is our absolute. And he loves us the same. He loves us in our good, bad, and downright ugly. But he loves us. And we have to come to the realization of the truth. That it is the truth that sets us free. And we have to come to that with Jesus, knowing that we are loved, that we are absolutely his sons and daughters, his brothers and sisters. We are the bride of Christ. And Mother, you are right. I don't want to be here when Jesus comes back, because it is not going to be lovey-dovey. I don't want to come to the new kingdom when the dead in Christ has risen and the rapture has happened. When that happens and everything is said and done after tribulation, then bring me back. And I don't want my children living through tribulation. I don't want to live through tribulation. And, you know, come on now. That's when you have to say, Lord, take us before tribulation. Because we are in some terrible, terrible times. We are going into some crazy, crazy. You know, folks look at you crazy when you say, watch sci-fi movies. Watch sci-fi movies. And you will see some things that may be your future. And folks look you crazy. But all I remember, Mother, was when I was a kid, remembering that Dick Tracy watch? Remember the Dick Tracy watch?
Amen.
Where you could talk in it?
Amen.
Remember where you had the phones where you could see people's faces? Come on now. All this stuff that, you know, Captain Kirk being able to push a button on the ear and talk to somebody, all that stuff is our absolute now. When I was a kid,
Amen.
We didn't have a cell phone. You know, I remember my husband and I thought we was all that when we got our car phone, Mother. That, you remember the car phones? That was a big bag.
Yes.
that looked up, that had a phone that looked like a house phone in it. You know, we had
Amen.
One. We thought we was all that. We thought we had a ride with our little phone. No. And then, you know, then when we got the flip phone, you know, we was like too cool. Flip your phone up. I had my little red flip phone. I thought and you know, it was small enough to fit in your back pocket. So, you know, you thought, oh, we have a ride. And now you got iPhones. You know, by the time I probably leave this earth, Mother, there'll be an iPhone 100. You know, every time you turn around, there's a new iPhone. And, you know, it's iPhone 14, and now it's iPhone 15, and in about 2-3 months it'll be iPhone 16. That's what I said. By the time we leave this earth, mother, it'll be an iPhone 100. that'll be big as a hand. You know, you never know what they up to. But the bottom line is that this word of God, we can take it. This is for real. And it is no playing time. It, you know, who have gone down to hell with their weapons of war?
My God.
We got to think about what the word of God says. And it is no joke. They do not lie with the mighty who are fallen of the uncircumcised, who have gone down to hell with their weapons of war. That's scary. That folks have gone to hell.
Already.
War.
My Lord.
Whew. Powerful word, mother. Powerful word. And as we go into Psalms 130, it's a song of ascent. Out of the depth, I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, could mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And there is forgiveness with you, that you may be healed.
Amen.
Who can stand? No one can.
No one.
God, no one. You know, we sung the song yesterday. You know, I think it was last week, victory belongs to Jesus. You know, and I think it's like, who can stand before the king? No one can.
No
we
one.
All bow down to God. And it says in Proverbs, when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. It's the truth. When the wicked are in charge, you have crazy chaos.
Amen.
When they are gone, you have peace. You have peace. Because those that are like roaches that crawl out in the night, they crawl out with the wicked. But when the wicked is gone and they've been sprayed out, the cockroaches go back to wherever they was at. You know, we are living in a time of cockroaches coming out into the light. You know, them kind of down in the south, they have them flying cockroaches. That's what we got right now. We got flying cockroaches. They've come out from under the, out of the ground, out of the rivers, out of the sea. They out of everything. It's creating havoc on the earth. Like bad locusts. Just coming out of the dark to spew hate and hatred. And some of those spewing hate and hatred are coming out of pulpit. Not of God, but you have folks following after that rhetoric and after that crazy. Because they have forgotten when the wicked arise, men hide, good people, oh, I'm going to that. But then when they perish, the righteous increase. We wonder why church bodies have decreased, why people are not coming to church. It's because of so much crazy going on. And when we get to the book of James, which we're about to enter right now, James tells us what we have to do. We have to be swift to hear, bold to speak, and bold to vow. We get caught up in rhetoric, and we want to fight, and we want to go to war. But the folks going to war are normally not the children of those that create the war. The ones going to war are not the families of those that create the war. They hide their kids because they're wealthy. And all that it's about is how much money can I make on weapons of war? And not how can I help the people of God? And it tells us about James in our word this morning. And it says James, probably a brother of Jesus. You know, we can go to the book of Matthew, which we're going to do. Matthew 13 and 55. And when we go to Matthew 13 and 55, we learn about who James is. I love the pages. Here are the pages of the Bible. You know, it's easy to go to a computer and a cell phone and pull it up. But to feel the pages of the Word of God, it just does something to my spirit. And when we go to go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, and this is where Jesus talks about being a prophet without honor in his own home. It says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary and his mother named Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Are all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense of him, at him. Took offense. They heard it, but then they started speaking. And then wrath came. What does it say? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. They got offended because they were trying to figure out, how did the carpenter's kid get all this power? And that Mary is mama. And then they talk about his siblings. And then, you know, we go into the book of Mark, chapter 6. And in Mark chapter 6, verse number 3, it says this. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. It's the same thing. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Same thing, you know, from the perspective of Mark. Almost verbatim of Matthew, which means that these disciples are looking like, what's going on? No respect in his hometown, because we all know how that is. Didn't they do X, Y, Z? You know, all of this stuff. But note this, that James was written approximately 60 years after the death of Christ.
Amen.
60 A.D. And it says, in 10 words or less, how do we describe James? Real Christian faith is shown by one's good work. What do you do? Do you give an example? Do your grandchildren, do your children, do you do things to help people in secret that nobody knows that you gave somebody a drink of water? Nobody knows what you did. Only God does. We got to keep trusting him. And then it goes on to tell us. It says in the details, please, it says, though the Apostle Paul clearly taught that salvation is by faith alone and not by good works, Romans 3 and 28, James clarifies that good works will follow true faith. What does it profit, my brethren, do a man say he has faith and have not works? James chapter 2, verse 14. James encourages Christians in everyday life to view trials as opportunities for spiritual growth, to control their tongue, there it is, to make peace, to avoid favoritism, to help the needy, the bottom line. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. Quotables from James. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. but effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Woo!
5 and 6 of James. I told y'all James is all that.
And then he says the unique and unusual about James. For those who think it's enough just to believe in God, James says the devil also believes. And the devils also believe and tremble. James 2 and 19. Life-changing faith is Jesus. In Jesus is the key. Because we know the devil believes in God. The devil knows God. The devil tried to take over the kingdom of God and got sent to earth. Wow. Could you have not sent him to Jupiter, God? But no, he got sent to earth to create havoc. So what? With practical wisdom for living the Christian life, you'll find it all through the book of James. So we're going to find some practical ways to live in this book today. And it says in James chapter 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exhortation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. But no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat, then it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, but when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brother. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man I say it again, let every man, God gave us every one, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I got to read that again. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Whew! And I look at this. My daughter rides the train to her job, and she was on the train last evening,
and the person that happened to be sitting next to her was a pervert. I'm just going to call them what they were. They were perverts. They were looking at videos of rape. I don't know if it was child porn or what kind of porn, but it was sick. And all she could say is, I'm uncomfortable. And I said, pray. And I started praying for her, for the Lord to cover her, because you don't know what these people are about. If he is looking at some nasty mess like that on a train, sitting next to a woman, what kind of person is that? Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And it's wicked and filthy in this world. See meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. We are within. Demons are coming out. They are wicked and filthy demons, creating chaos all over this world. Sickness. Folks that don't mind hurting children and hurting others. Looking at rape in a public transportation. And she was afraid to say anything because she didn't know what was going on with this person. So she was a little on the fearful side. And I prayed. Ask God to cover her. Cover her, Lord. Because we are living in wicked world. And it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. But if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. But he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We got to not only hear this word, we got to be doers of it. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, there it is. Keep your tongue behind your teeth, own heart. This one's religion is useless. And I'm reading it again, Mother. If anyone among you think he is religious, I have for years a keychain that says, I'm not religious, I just love the Lord. And does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We got to set ourselves apart. We can't be like everybody else. We can't go where everybody else goes. We can't do what everybody else does. We got to do what God says, the Lord. God is in charge of our life. He's in charge of our hope. He's in charge of everything. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. There is nothing joyful about trials in and of themselves. There is no value in suffering for its own sake. God uses both trials and suffering to test our faith so that we may learn to patiently endure. We got to patiently endure. And it says, how does God teach me patience? Patience has been defined as learning to accept difficult situations as from God without giving him a deadline for their removal. We know we need it, but we generally shun the process by which we learn it. Ours is the now generation. Ours is the now generation. Microwave. You know, we thought we was doing something. What was it, Jiffy Pop, Mother? Where you put the little pan on the stove and watch the tinfoil pop, 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 pop up. And then you know when it stops popping and the pen is up into a little ball. It's done. That was our microwave back in the day. And now, you know, you just take a bag of popcorn, throw it in the microwave, which is not good for your body. But that's, you know, that's what we have right now. I need it now. Microwave. You know, I want everything right now. I want this now. I want that now. And I'm like, Lord, help us to get out. Help me. Because I'm a right now. I want it now person. And I had to pray on that. I'm praying on it right now. You know, that's not a good thing. Learning patience. Learning patience and perseverance. Because ours is the now generation. We want it now. We cannot wait for God's direction. So we move ahead on our own initiative. We cannot wait for sex and marriage. So we damage the relationship by demanding immediate gratification. We cannot wait for our wealth to grow. So we prefer to get rich quick schemes. Come on now. Striving to have it all now is a costly and disappointing approach to life. Dr. Staley knows he can reach. The Old Testament admonishes us, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 27:14. And it promises, those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Psalms 37:9. In the New Testament parable of the soil, we read, but the one that fell on the good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What did it say? But the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, bear fruit with patience. 8:15. God may require us to wait for our needs and desires for any of several reasons. What we want is right for us, but we are not yet ready for it. Our motivation for having it opposes God's purpose for us. God is trying to get our attention about some hidden sin in our lives. God wants to teach us discipline through waiting. Getting what we want would have a negative effect on someone else. God wants to teach us to depend on him, not on ourselves or others. God wants to teach us to trust his ways and timing and to learn that they are best. How do we learn patience? Through trials and tribulations. The Bible encourages us to count it all joy when we face trying times. But why? Not because it is pleasant, but because it is profitable. Trials produce patience. Tribulations produce patience. In times of difficulty, we learn to endure, to bear up, to persevere, to keep holding on with no help in sight. Well, we can do so without setting a deadline for surrender. Then we have developed one of life's greatest qualities, patience. God, give us patience. Give us patience to wait on you, that you will provide. James 1:13, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. To say that God tempts anyone to sin is to confuse the Lord with the devil. The whole satanic purpose of temptation is to entice people away from God and his best for them. Wow, what a word. James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. Do you enjoy good health and a roof over your head? If so, that's God's gift. Come on now. Do you have enough to eat? A solid church home, some faithful friends, a source of income, a generous God who sold them all. James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Our culture tends to consider people spiritual merely if they have an interest in spiritual things. This is not the biblical perspective. Only those who hear God's voice and obey it are spiritual. Be what? Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That's our word for today. That's what God gave us this morning, and it is a great word. We got to learn how to hear, slow to speak, slow to speak, to hear, slip to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You got folks to get mad about everything. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. Why? They just looked at me wrong, so I just don't like them. They just, I don't know. It's just something about them that just bothers me. They just rub me the wrong way. How? Can't explain it. But I just don't like them. You know, we got to pray. Pray for God to heal hearts, minds, and spirits. Pray for God to give us strength. Pray for God to lead and guide us. Pray for God to show us the way in his kindness. Trust God today. Trust God today.
Amen.
And love each other. And that is all I have this morning. I do have a prayer, and I do have a word from Sister Carolyn today. And our word for this morning, on this 20th day, is deserved thanks from Colossians. Actually, always hope from James 5:15. And we read that, I believe, on yesterday. You know, but I want to just read it again. Always hope. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven, James 5:15. Lord, fill my heart with the love of your presence. Fill me to overflowing. I receive all that you offer, knowing that you are the supply I reach for throughout my day. The more I have, the more there is to give. Lord, you are the hope of my heart, of every longing, dream, and desire. You have not forgotten the promises you have spoken. You won't go back on your word. My soul is encouraged when I look over my life and see how you have shown up at every stage. What a wonderful tapestry of love and redemption. You are weaving, even now. I can feel my faith being strengthened as I remember that you have already done what you have already done. I see your faithfulness, Lord. It is undeniable. Do it again, Lord. Heal the sick, mend the broken. Raise the dead. Your ways are impossibly good and deserve thanks. Let every activity of your lives and every word, come on now, let every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Colossians 3:17, TPT. Father, I come to you with a heart full of gratitude today. When I list the ways you have faithfully shown up time and again in my life with your constant love, I am overwhelmed. God, may everything I do, every word that comes out of my mouth, point people to your faithfulness. Your goodness is beyond what I could begin to describe. But I'll try. Your kindness always leads me back to you when I have started to drift. Oh, my Lord. You know how the enemy, when you get a word in, the enemy will send distraction. Just distractions that are like, you want to say, okay, God, that deep breath, breathing in that Holy Spirit and breathing out any confusion. Because your goodness is beyond what I could begin to describe, but I'll try. Your kindness always leads me back to you when I have started to drift off course. You have never let go of me or let me down. even when I was sure that you had disappointed me. You gave me a perspective that showed your incredible love in a new way. There is no one like you. You are perfect in how you care for me, knowing exactly what I need when I need it. You never let jealousy overtake your senses. You are patient in love. I could go on forever and in eternity. I will. For now, let the overflow of gratitude in my heart be enough. And it says, how can you thank God for his goodness today? Something to think about as you go through your day. How can you thank God for his goodness? You know, it's like you have everybody wanting right now. I need you to be XYZ right now. But I had to wait a little bit, Sister Carolyn. I was waiting on a word this morning. And I got it.
Amen.
And it says, good morning. God is the author and finisher of your faith. Rest assured that he will complete what he has started with you. Have a motivated Monday. Keep trusting God and let him know that all is well with your heart because you trust him. Let him know that you love him more than you could ever know because God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows our spirit. God knows us. So keep trusting him. Keep thanking him and letting him know that he is absolute and you love him because he loves you more than anything. He gave it for you. Thank you, family. Mother Valerie, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Callers, listen,
amen.
We thank you. Those that listen live, listen later. We ask God to watch over you and to bless you. And as we pray our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the word of God in your life, knowing that God has got you covered. But when that tongue gets ready to come at it, just say, Lord God, help me to hear. Help me to not speak. Help me to not get angry. Because, Lord, you are in charge of everything. Swift to hear, bold to speak, bold to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. Have a great and blessed day, family. What is it, Mother Valerie? I believe
it's
a wrap because I got to take a little boy to school and I got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed and have a great and wonderful day.
And I'm it going back to
wrap. I can't
it's
do that,
a wrap.
Mother, but I'm going to work. It's a wrap. A second and final closing. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.
Call you later, Rita. It's a wrap. Going back to bed.